Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
Oh, God.
Why in the world? It tastes
like I wrung out a towel at the Hawaiian Tropic competition.
They color code the LaCroix or whatever.
I bought, you know, actually, the Kroger is a surprisingly good deal when you buy the right one.
So this is Kroger brand bubble water.
Yeah, Kroger fizzy lifting drink.
Okay. And
it's good. It's $2.99 for a 12 pack.
Okay.
I think they have Kroger all over the nation now.
And if not, I know the Kroger group, your local grocery store might just be a rebranded Kroger.
The benefit of it, as I can tell, is just that it's caffeine free.
Okay.
That's really the only good thing about it.
of the coconut?
The coconut water. Yeah. It's a nice can. It's aesthetically pleasing.
I mean, to make those cans, they use recycled aluminum from sunscreen factories.
Oh, they probably do. Yeah. That's how most mistakes start. Aesthetically pleasing.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
I'm getting at the root of things lately in life. I want to solve the big problem.
You're finding the crux. You're jumping right to the core.
Right. I don't, you know, I want to open stories and tabs. That's what I want to do.
That's what you want to do.
Chrome says, nah.
Nope. Chrome says, I'm just going to hang for a while.
I'm good.
You got this. You can remember the stories for your
The one
thing.
Good thing that Chrome doesn't do is try to update my and improve my experience every once in a while.
Fucking assholes.
That's what I want you to do.
We're going to improve your experience.
I didn't have a problem with what was here.
No. I mean, Chrome just updates every night is the thing. It just never stops. It never stops you. Like, it never halts you. I mean, that's why you stopped using your PS3 to do anything, right? It's just because every time you turned it on, you would have to update it for 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's in the cabinet. I just got rid of that. it was horrible.
Yeah.
We're updating your PlayStation network. Look at these shapes
Look at these shapes while this bar fills.
Right.
Yeah, no.
This could take a while. I think it actually got to the point where they just wrote it. This could take a while.
Yeah.
You ever try Pilates? it would ask you some self-improvement questions.
Go for it.
Do you think your sadness goes away with food? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, demonstrably.
Yeah.
Demonstrably.
Yeah. Yep. That's the way that works.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do? You want to do an intro?
We probably have something. I never prepare for the intros. Usually it's just whatever you say when you fire up. So yeah.
Yeah. I don't listen to it. I don't like us enough to listen. I haven't listened to literally in years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's you listen while you, you make it.
You know, what's funny is that, because we're coming up, it's episode 199, so it's time to look back. It's a compilation episode, so we're gonna take the night off. Or I am. You're gonna edit some shit together.
That's the thing. A compilation episode is the most time consuming thing you can do.
Right.
Yeah.
So what we're gonna do is get together this weekend. We're gonna sit at the kitchen table, eat some cheesecake, and talk about things that happened.
Yeah. What?
Which I think was every other Golden Girls episode was a compilation episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Eventually the compilations caught up to them, and it was just a compilation of them sitting around. It was a compilation of introductions to compilation episodes.
Right. And that was it. But then you knew, because the cheesecake meant they were going to look backwards. And if it was butter pecan ice cream, they were going to do the future.
Yeah, it was like they were picking the Pope. You could tell. I mean, the which cheesecake, it was the color of smoke.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Pope smoke.
Pope smoke.
Yeah.
Wonder if that's a strain.
I have no idea. That shit's overwhelming, actually. Strain names.
No.
No.
No, I just I'm reading about. I'm actually looking at Photoshop.
I take it back. You don't even listen while we record.
Popes, Popes holding bongs. People photoshopping joints in Pope's mouth. Whatever that that bag of burning kids is that they swing back and forth.
The bag of burning kids. You mean the sensor? The thing on the end of a chain?
Frankincense ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. Is that what it is?
No, it's like it contains incense, but the actual device, the cage on the end of the chain is a sensor. CNCR sensor.
Really? Yeah. Where did that come from?
I think that they share a common root, incense and sensor.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain that? Because I got some stuff to do.
Well, if you... here's the thing. You don't get... Chris, here's the thing. You don't get to ask a question and then be upset when I answer it.
I think you should know better. It's a trap.
Man. Yeah, I just... But that's... That's the thing. You're fucking Lucy with the football, you know?
To Jan?
Yep.
Marcia.
No, it was Jan who was hit. Jan was the middle one nobody liked.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it was Marcia. My bad. Anyway.
Yeah. So this is 199.
Yeah, it's episode 199 of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids. Thank you for the prompting. My name is Chris.
My name is Cole, and we're here to entertain your asses.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't even know anymore. Like there was something about it. Like those, the Brady kids were really fucked up. And I think one of them, maybe the youngest, maybe Cindy, ended up being like a real, like a real far right, like a real right wing nut job.
Yeah,
kind of
nut
person,
job,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't mean like, oh, you just voted for people I don't like, but like advocated beating the shit out of your kids or something like that.
Yeah, we talked about this. Aunt B went to live on a commune. She really did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, I mean, man, she needs to find the people who are going to appreciate her pies the most.
When you think back, it kind of did look like she made her own clothes.
Ah, man. See, here's the thing about Andy Griffith.
Yeah,
I've absorbed more about the Andy Griffith Show kind of secondhand through just like the majority of culture than I ever actually did. Like, you know, watch episodes of the show. Like, I've seen episodes of the show. I know I know the difference between Gomer Pyle and what's his name that replaced him.
Goober.
Yeah, Goober Pyle. I know the difference. I know which one I prefer, even, you know. Jim Nabors is a fucking treasure.
Is he alive?
I think Jim Nabors is dead as fuck.
Really? Is his nose alive?
What do you mean?
Yeah, didn't he have one of those big like alcoholic noses?
Like a rosy nose?
Larry Bird.
Holy shit. Yeah, he's got a big nose. It's only gotten bigger as the rest of his face has kind of sunk. Jim Nabors is still alive.
I thought so.
He's 86 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
He's writing speeches for Trump.
Really?
Nah, I don't know.
I was going to say, like, you know.
He did some Christian albums, didn't he?
I think so. Yeah. A noted, he's a noted, very, very talented singer. That was the whole joke with him, was he had that really high nasally voice when he talked for that character, but then he would bust it out. It was like when, It was like when Laka Gravis turned into Vic Damone.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was like when Urkel turned into Stefan.
Yeah, I mean,
his name was?
So Stefan or Kel? Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Sorry.
It's been a while since
I've TGIF.
Since you've TGI'd your Fs.
Right.
Yeah. But thank God
I'm fucked.
Yeah, but it's like any of those law running shows with multi-talented cast members. Eventually, they run out of ideas and they have to remake different characters, you know, with the same people. Hmm. It's like in 30 Rock whenever Tracy Morgan has a dream sequence about a white person, it's Alec Baldwin doing the character.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
hey, when you
good.
Go ahead. You were going to say, but yeah, which is a substitute for well.
Jeez.
What?
Do you want to talk more about my tics?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I want to talk about my stories.
Okay,
I
cool.
pre-prode.
I pre-prode too.
Good. Then let's do that.
Dipshit. Yeah, okay. Well, okay, tell me a fucking story. I don't know.
All right. What do you think of when you think of Judy Garland?
Dorothy?
Right. She seems pretty happy, right?
No, she lived a famously tragic life filled with substance abuse and disappointment.
Right. See, I didn't know that. I just always think of Dorothy.
Okay. Just a famously tragic figure from Hollywood. Isn't she also like Liza Minnelli's mother or something like that?
I don't know. I don't know, but she evidently had multiple husbands. She died at 47 from a drug overdose.
Right.
But she had a lot of husbands. And the guy named Sid Luft. Sidney Luft, right. He wrote a book that was posthumously published, Judy and I, My Life with Judy Garland. And in the book, he claims that 16-year-old Garland was groped by the Munchkins on set.
What?
Quote, they thought they could get away with anything because they were so small.
That has to be some like really, that's to be some old school Hollywood. I mean, it's terrible on all sides, but just like stereotyping little people as crafty just based on their size.
They thought they could get away with it, too. If it wasn't for you damn Munchkins.
Just every time they would say, who, me? They tried to hide behind a projected image of childlike innocence. Man, I feel bad making jokes about little people. This isn't a good look at all.
Who, me? And then they morphed into an owl and flew away.
Are you positing a world in which these little people have mystical powers?
Oh, don't they? I prove they don't.
If you're a little person, write in and let us know if you have powers, and also B, I'm very, very sorry. That's fucking crazy.
So they would make Judy's life miserable on set by putting their hands up her dress. The men were 40 or more years old.
Yeah, she's a 16-year-old kid.
Right.
Huh.
However, there is a rebuttal in the story. Jerry Marin, M-A-R-E-N, is the last surviving Munchkin, who says that the rumors of misbehaving among the movie's 120 or so Munchkins that recount tales of wild hotel parties are not true. Marin says the only troublemakers were, quote, a couple of kids from Germany who liked to drink beer.
Kids. Among the Munchkins themselves, were there actual children sprinkled in their midst? Or?
Yeah, I don't know.
Huh?
Just little drunken kids.
Yeah, just
drunken
just.
Germans. Did they film that movie in Germany? Why were there German kids on the set of? Why were there German kids?
Just gonna get to the bottom
the set
of this
of the Wizard.
I think so. Most of what you see is actually like interior shots, simply because color film was so new at the time, specifically Technicolor, and had to be lit so brightly in order to get the proper exposure off of the stuff. And they also had to do some kind of like weird stuff with the sets and the mats in order to get the color to pop off right. So it's mostly like sets out in Los Angeles, if I remember correctly. Same thing with Gone with the Wind, except for some of those like battlefield shots. But like the story is, you know, in between shots, they would fling open the shutter doors, you know, like for the studio, like, you know, like you would bring like huge equipment in, and just the heat would blow out in waves. It would actually like cause these mirages to rise up above the studio because the lights were so hot, because it was so stifling. That's just, I'm not looking that up. It's just should I know from lighting classes. What?
Jesus Christ.
What?
There's more.
What?
There's more.
Just more me talking or what?
These munchkins, they're now being called drunks and said sex mad hellraisers.
Good God.
Yeah. Evidently one of the munchkins asked Judy Garland out on a date. And Judy is quoted as saying, "One of them, a gentleman of about 40, asked me for dinner. He was about 2 inches high, and I didn't want to say I can't because you're a midget.
Two inches
because you're an adult."
Yeah. Like there's a definite order of operations for why that is not a.
She said, "So I just said no. My mother wouldn't like it," and the munchkin said, "Come on, bring your ma too. Two broads for the price of one."
Good God.
Yeah. She said that there were hundreds of them. They put them all in one hotel. They got smashed every night, and the police would pick them up in butterfly nets, the poor thing.
Oh, come on. You're fucking
kidding. That's what it says.
No, you're fucking kidding me. No, that's awful.
This is Judy Garland, man.
Pick them up. That's terrible.
Oh, shit.
Man. Hollywood was so fucked up at that time.
Yep, Chris Price and Joe Harlan write in their book Live Fast, Die Young. Quote, he asked one of the attending officers as to the nature of the incident to be told several munchkins had been drunk and disorderly and were currently resisting arrest. Quote, with hands too small for cuffs and no restraints of a suitable size, the hotel laundry had been called on to help. Nevin watched as nine policemen emerged from the foyer, each holding a wrinkling, writhing, and rather heavy pillowcase.
Your kid. That's
cool. I swear to God,
that is so fucking cartoonish.
Right.
What? Jesus.
Huh. Yeah. So just a bunch of drunk midgets and pillowcases.
Using the language of the time. Wow.
Come on, bring your ma too.
two for the price of one.
Two dames for the price of one.
Your grandma alive? Let's get a hat trick. Excuse me, you awful man.
Do all midgets talk like the Ghost of Christmas Past?
I think the preferred term is little people. I don't know.
Well, we're a little late now, right?
Well, citing quotes is one thing. Just saying it from the mouth of you is a different thing entirely.
My bad.
I just want to make sure all bases are covered.
I was just calling journalists N-words.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Come on, Tapper.
Like, you're doing okay work, Tapper, but don't. That's not a, yeah, that's the, not a trick you want to pull to invoke that.
No. Nope.
Yeah. Specifically referring to Jake Tapper saying candidly in an interview, calling a journalist fake news is like calling a black person the N-word. It's incredibly short-sighted of you to say.
Not really. Things are good for them.
Yeah.
Journalists.
Everything is A-OK, peachy fine.
Yeah.
Good God. I've got a story here for you. This is from a new study that has been put out by people from several different universities spanning the globe, actually. So Stanford, the University of Cambridge, Maastricht University, Hong Kong University Hong of, Kong. Of Science and Technology. Looking at the relationship between kind of vocabulary and other traits, specifically, what does the amount that you swear say just about the rest of you? Okay. And it turns out That people who swear more often, or people who don't have, you know, puritanical hangups about saying the fucking truth, have a bigger vocabulary, are more intelligent than clean tongued friends, as it says in this article here, and more importantly, possibly, they might be more honest. Okay. So they had 276 direct participants in this, and then they scanned just about 75,000 Facebook profiles and just kind of looked at profanity use and kind of like honesty of the updates, right?
Right.
And then use previous data and put all of that together. Profanity is often used to express one's unfiltered feelings, examples, anger and frustration, and sincerity. Okay.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I'm not fucking kidding you.
Hmm.
Yeah. So if you're really bottled up when it comes to profanity, you know, then then oftentimes that means kind of a greater, let's say, attenuation of your true feelings, right. And maybe the facts as well.
How does okay? So if someone curses, it makes them honest. But if I say midget, I'm an asshole.
No, I don't think you're an asshole.
No, that's what I said it because I meant it. I'm being honest.
you said it because that was the word you wanted to choose.
Or should I say fucking little person?
I mean, probably. This isn't the hill you want to die on.
No, it is a hill that I want to try to take.
Yeah, I don't know. I think those are probably two different things.
Wait a minute. You're assuming you have the high ground.
No, even if I'm on the other side of that hill, and we're both kind of like running for it, I would not advise. It's not a good look, specifically because the difference would be that generalized cuss words, like, what am I, fucking five? Generalized swears. What am I, 12? Yep, generalized bad words. Those don't really have a victim or anybody to really make feel bad. Whereas, you know, using a discredited term like that might potentially, you know, either make somebody feel bad or, I think, not more important, but just as worth taking into account, make you look a certain way that you don't want to look.
Mm.
I'm not I'm not here to get offended for anybody or to be in their, you know, to take offense in their stead. I just want to, you know, it's one of those things where I kind of want to point out that there might be spinach in your teeth with that particular word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does make
you
an asshole.
I'm saying that I will not only take that hill, but I will plant my flag on the pile that is your body.
I will impale you with a flag. Yeah.
Yeah. America.
Yeah, you miserable piece of shit. Yeah.
No. Yeah, this is a good story. I'm gonna tell.
Okay.
All right. Here. All right. Just speaking. This is a thing. There were a lot of things about the Marine Corps that were different, but there were particularly games that were played sometimes, and namely in boot camp, and without going Full Metal Jacket, because this has nothing to do with that. You know, you have very little possessions. So the possessions that you have, you know, they're yours, right? And they're all kept in a footlocker. And from time
Wait,
to
at the
time,
store next to the Babbages?
No, in the Marine Corps.
Oh, okay.
In the footlocker.
All right. That's
is that
where
how it feels when I do that to you?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to do them more now.
is that where you keep your striped referee shirts?
Yeah, that's where you keep your shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So every once in a while, just to prove to you that none of it was actually yours, they would make everybody carry their footlockers up to one place, and then you would dump your footlocker out on the floor. And so then, you know, the other 89 people behind you would dump their shit until there was this massive pile. And then each platoon had a flag that they carried around with them that had their number on it. Like, once again, you're not a person, you're a number. And so all of your earthly possessions are in this giant pile. and the drill instructor would climb on top of it and put the platoon flag on it. And the phrase that they would yell in order for you to instigate you to do this would be, "Motherfuckers, make me Mount Sarabachi."
What?
That's what they would say. They would say, "Make me Mount Sarabachi." And I have no idea what that means, but we'd go dump our stuff. Then we'd plant our flag.
Mount Sarabachi. This is in 1945, during the battle for Iwo Jima. Oh, Mount Sarabachi was the mountain.
It's kind of famous, right?
Yeah, okay.
Why don't you know that? Why? Why don't you know that?
If you said make me that mountain on Iwo Jima, I would say, oh, you mean the one from the photo? Okay. I didn't know Mount Sarabachi was the actual hill that they were taking in that photograph.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take this hill, Cole. You don't even know what a fucking hill is. So, let alone the hill from history. It is the hill.
It is the single hill. The single hill that there ever was.
Bigger than Devil's Den. Bigger than the Chosen Reservoir, Cole.
It is
the hill.
Okay, so you pretended not to know what Sarabachi was in order to trick me into Googling it and saying, oh, it's that one.
I was going to see if you didn't know, and then I heard typing, and I knew.
Yeah, me knowing what that hill was, that's a different hill.
Who's buried in the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier?
Nobody. Who's buried in Grant's tomb?
Grant?
That's a different thing. Nobody's buried in Grant's tomb.
Really?
Yeah.
Where is he at?
He was exhumed and moved, I think, to upstate New York or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, we have the Hardy Memorial here, right around where I live.
Oh, we're the Hardy Boys?
For Warren G.
is it Warren G or Nate Dogg who died?
Nate Dogg is dead.
Yeah, Nate Dogg died several years ago.
His name is Warren G. Harding.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Nobody ever put that together.
I mean, I was just tricking you. I was just tricking you into finding that out.
His name is really Warren G. Harding.
Pretty good.
Yep. And he loved the ladies.
wait a minute. Like Cool James?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, the ladies love Cool James. There we go.
Who is Cool James?
I think that's LL Cool J's name.
Are you serious?
Yeah, LL Cool J. It's ladies love Cool James.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's a lot. A lot going on there. Hey, Cole, you know when you used to see your teachers out in town and it was like seeing an animal in the wild?
It was a little bit weird. And
it was like seeing a deer under a stoplight.
My operating hypothesis was that any given teacher would actually conduct their daily business a couple towns over just to avoid that. And like when you caught them, it really was kind of a transgression.
Right. And you know that there are teacher bars, right? Just like there's cop bars or firefighter bars.
No, I had no idea there are teacher bars. Those places must get buck wild.
One in Bangor, Maine.
Okay.
And the school has had two teachers and a superintendent secretary resign after a video surfaced of them playing Fuck, Marry, Kill involving coworkers and students.
Oh, no.
Some of the students named during the game on the video have special needs.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
A goal.
Yep. The three Bangor Public School employees who resigned could be heard making inappropriate comments in the video. Four other teachers present were reprimanded for playing Fuck, Marry, Kill with special needs children from their school.
Oh.
Shows that they might not be right for the job.
Yeah, it's a little bit of it demonstrates a certain kind of judgment. Some would say poor judgment. Wow, I mean, like that was bad enough when it was about okay, Fuck, Marry, Kill, Jaden, Caden, or Aiden. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, there probably are a lot of those.
I mean, it's not a new observation. Although I don't even know.
Those were all Carrie Bradshaw's boyfriends on Sex and the City.
Mm, mm. No, what was it? That might have actually been the thing, right? Because what was the dude's name? Aiden?
There was an Aiden, yeah. He right. also, the guy who played Aiden was the DJ on Northern Exposure.
Huh. Weird. I would not mm-hmm. have expected, yeah.
Huh. Me to know that.
No, well, you've talked about Northern Exposure. I know my Sex and the City fash from listening to The Worst Idea of All Time. I've never actually seen an episode of the show. Have you?
It's not bad. I've seen all of them.
Okay.
Huh. It's not bad. I own them. It's not great.
it's not great. I talk about it with my friends all the time, though. Chris, you're such a Miranda.
Yeah, I know. I wrote a couple of spec scripts.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know.
I just, did, you know, this is the book tour, Sex in Your City. I
Michael Patrick Caine going around signing copies of the scripts.
Nah, it's Christopher North.
Who's Christopher North?
He played
North?
Mr. Big. Oh. God, Cole.
I don't know. Follow up from before. Judy Garland was, I guess is, whatever. She gave birth to Liza Minnelli. Liza Minnelli is Judy Garland's daughter.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, just so that's not. Are you talking to Siri?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I just said thank you. Oh, I said
okay.
Thanks.
Okay. It was compressed, kind of weird. Yeah.
Work on your packets, man.
Man, my packets. My packets are not in order. I've got something for you. How do you feel about some stream fungus that is getting wild and wacky on amphetamines?
I think I want to hear.
Yeah. So research being done on lots of, you know, rivers, streams, and waterways around major metropolitan areas, but specifically in this case around Baltimore, are showing that the level of amphetamines in just kind of like wild flowing water, you know, that's just out, you know, in a babbling, jittering, teeth grinding brook. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's mostly amphetamine at this point. It is a public health hazard. You know, just because the drugs that people take, you know, let alone the ones that they're actually like flushing, but like the drugs that people take from, you know, just kind of like street crank all the way up to Adderall, are filtering through the system, getting past like the treatments and just like fucking up, making the most wild and crazy jittering bears and rock slime ever. It's
yeah. And so cops thought they had to up their caliber for coked up black dudes.
What?
I think the Alexa thought I said Alexa.
Okay.
But what I said was, I told you I got a girlfriend, right?
Alexa?
No.
She doesn't count. I've asked judges.
I said so the cops thought they had to up their caliber, you know, when they had a bunch of cracked out black dudes, but now you got Adderall bears.
Yeah, you got Adderall bears. They're more focused than ever.
It sounds like something that would cap off her rant. Got Adderall bears. Our birds' heads are falling off.
The water's turning the frogs gay. You know that's a thing, right?
No, water's turning frogs gay?
No, it's Alex Jones, one of a famous video of him recently going on this just red-faced rant talking about the water turning the frickin' frogs gay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I wouldn't have thought that. Try to say lily pad without sounding like a queer. You know?
I wish you wouldn't say that.
Which one?
I'll take your pick. No, I'm trying to say lily. Yeah. I'm not putting you on blast. Don't worry. Lily pad.
Isn't that what the Q's for?
Questioning?
Nope. Yeah. I was wrong.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, lily pad is kind of is kind of hard. I've never actually seen a lily pad though.
I don't see acronyms.
But yeah, no, I think Alex Jones is making either making some kind of point about like the way our water is being poisoned to keep us docile, or referring to the real problem of estrogen getting into the water supply because of birth control and other factors.
Right.
Which is a thing.
I have heard of this.
Alex Jones?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a big deal now. Like he's a fringe conspiracy guy who was a big Trump supporter, and now like his site InfoWars is like part of the official press pool. It's kind of scary.
He's gone. He's a
big like chemtrails kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. No, I went into the sauna at the Y, and there's a guy who's always in the sauna. I think he just lives there. I don't know. But he had his phone, and I heard, you know, crazy shouting. And I'm like, I thought it was Rush Limbaugh, you know, because sometimes Rush can do that.
Yeah, he can get on a tear.
Right. No, it's Alex Jones. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, he's really getting into it, huh? I'm hinting, like, please turn that off. Please stop that.
Right.
Yeah, I know I say shit on my podcast, but it's not stuff I really believe.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, you talk.
Not every day.
You can talk some yay, but it's not.
On special occasions do I think that the cue is for that. But he didn't. He didn't. He just kept. And then so finally he got done or whatever. And he went, and I was like, oh, cool, man. I can relax now without this guy yelling. And so then the guy comes back in after taking his shower. He walks back into the sauna so that he can dry off. I had moved from the top shelf to the bottom shelf of the sauna because he left. So, you know, I can move down and, you know,
you can move down and not be below towel level. Yeah.
Get a good slouch going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, so this guy comes back in, stands in the little lobby area of the sauna. It's where it's like, that's what I call the 3-foot by 3-foot.
The vestibule
you stand on.
Yeah.
And he proceeds to wave his dick and ass in my face.
The same time?
It was amazing.
Huh.
It literally was. Just right there. I mean, nothing I could do.
Yeah.
So
he's exerting his dominance.
What I'm saying is that I've had aversion therapy to Alex Jones by way of hairy ass and balls.
Of course. What was Mr. Jones talking about?
I don't know. I literally, he was just yelling.
You could tell how red his face was, even just by the tone of his voice.
Oh, man. Yeah, and then I saw a video of him.
Oh, of course.
When I subscribed to every one of his channels.
Of course, yeah. I mean, just because he was obnoxious didn't mean it doesn't mean it didn't have any points, you know?
No. You have to listen through the yelling and to for the message.
Yeah, yeah. We're not here to police tone or anything.
Right.
Fucking.
So along these lines, with Trump and Alex Jones and all this kind of stuff, I've seen now, thanks to YouTube, what nature does in these situations.
Which situations?
The situation where you just something's gotta happen. You know, you just can't take it anymore.
Okay.
Just you've had enough. And it played out in a group of 30 chimpanzees who were led by a chimp named Foduko.
Okay.
Right. The observers of the chimpanzee group, the people, the anthropologists, nicknamed him Saddam because he was somewhat of a tyrant.
Okay. Kind of a strong chimp figure.
Right. He's a strong chimp. I get strong chin. So he was overthrown and exiled, lived on the edge of the community for years. And then finally, they got tired of him hanging out, so they killed him. And then they spent 4 hours brutalizing his body. They broke his bones, beat him with rocks, ripped at his body, and ate him.
Jesus God.
Yep. The anthropologist who witnessed it, you know, holding the camera, said she was disturbed for days.
Of course you would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't normally associate animals with revenge.
Chimps. Yeah.
Yeah. That's our cousins, folks.
So, because chimps.
Yeah. Huh.
Yep. Like, they got done and he was like, oh, well, this now it's just like punching a sack of flour. Let's eat it.
Yeah, why not? chimps are more in tune with nature. They use every part of their rulers.
So I guess people sometimes chimps just have enough, and I think people do too. And
yeah,
hopefully we do it with a vote.
I would prefer it to be that way, to happen that way too. How long was this? Over what span of time did this occur? Not the actual like horrifying act of group catharsis. Okay, he led them for 6 years. And it was like in exile for how long?
He led them for about 35 days.
One can only hope. Yeah. Huh. So because this is a thing about specifically primate, you know, primate communities or whatever, where like, you know, if a researcher just stands off to the side with a garden hose and sprays whatever monkey like goes, I know monkeys are different, and just sprays whatever chimp goes for like a particular fruit tree or whatever, just like whenever any of them go, they get, you know, they get the hose, right? And then all of a sudden, like even the monkeys that were not directly hosed themselves, they were able to observe like, hey, just that doesn't, you know, you don't get near that tree because you get the hose. And this would persist even after the hosing stopped, right? Just like, yeah, there's no need to use the hose. And then even like subsequent generations of chimps or transplant chimps that kind of like joined from nearby, people who were not around for the initial hosing, like it was a generational thing where like all of them stayed away from this cursed place because they got the hose. So right. I was just wondering if this particular chimp became like this mythological figure that was just that was just kind of like a noted like chimp Hitler, you know?
Chimp Saddam.
Yeah.
They call him Saddam.
They call him Saddam, so I don't even have to put any more drama into this.
Maybe they just blared Alex Jones and then shook assholes in front of him. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nature's weird.
Yeah, that's pretty frightening, actually.
And sometimes people come into contact with nature.
Okay.
So you're just out at the Orange Tree Golf Club in Orlando, chilling, playing some golf.
Sipping a julep.
And then you see a sign that says, aggressive nesting hawk in the area. Take an alternate route. Umbrella advisable. Evidently, these hawks have taken up home at the Orange Tree Golf Club in Orlando for several years and have attacked many golfers. Some have had to get stitches. Others have had to get staples.
Good God.
Yeah.
Yeah, so these are just hawks. I mean, like, I can't imagine being attacked by a fucking hawk.
And it's happened so frequently, seasonally, that their Facebook says, beware, it's hawk nesting time of year again. And the hawks may be territorial.
Yeah. So what is that? Hole 7 is just par 0. You can skip it if you want. It's a challenge. It's a challenge hole.
I think it's like a -5 strokes.
Yeah, if you're just going to take this, it's yeah. We advise you don't go that way.
Quadruple eagled it.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Okay. I got to call my kid back.
Okay. Well, I'll let you do that. People who are listening to this, thank you so much for listening. If you want to support us, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Look at all these other shows. We just recently started up File Underwater, podcast about REM. I like doing that show an awful lot. And I hope that you enjoy it as well. In addition to that, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids. And if you have the time or the inclination, leave us a rating or review. Did I forget anything, Chris?
You got it.
All right. Sorry, America.
Sorry.